Blind Cool Tech, November 30, 05. Hey y'all, how are you? We're going to continue our discussion of inexpensive MP3 players.
Hey Larry.
Hey, have a good evening. For Christmas gifts. And, I'll be taking you on about a 30, 35, 40 minute walk on the way home while we continue this discussion. I want to cover more about the ILO and the iRiver and the WS320M. Good night. Have a good evening. We are recording this, by the way, on a, let's go straight, Olympus WS200S with the binaural microphones from Sound Professionals that are listed on our frequently asked questions link on the Blind Cool Tech website. This isn't going to be too windy. We were talking this morning about the ILO and the iRiver IFP-899, but I also wanted to mention that the new Olympus WS320M looks like a very viable solution for a fairly inexpensive MP3 player, especially if you are interested in doing recording as well. Because the recording, well, on the iRiver is tricky at best. It's easy once you get the procedure, but there's a lot of things you need to remember and, you know, a lot of things you need to make sure of. Hey. For instance, if you're going to do a voice recording, you need to make sure you've selected the right mode, whether you're using the internal mic or the external, and you have to make sure you've got the line-in jack set to the external mic. Those you only have to do once. This is on the iRiver, of course. And that's really the way I've been using mine. You know, if you want to make sure you're ready to record, you know, it's best to leave it in the line-in mode. And so all you need to do is just hit the record button, turn it on, lock it. And speaking of lock it, oops. All these recorders have a hold slide. So you slide this switch into a position and it effectively renders the rest of the buttons useless, which means you can't accidentally take it out of record. Or at the same token, if you have it off, you may want to leave it locked so that you don't accidentally turn it on. Now, I was about to say the Olympus 320M does have a megabyte of RAM, as Mary mentioned, and she's got hers already. This is the kind of a departure for Olympus. This unit still uses the very cool hardware design style of the WS200 series, and that the device comes apart into two pieces and exposes a USB port that plugs directly into your PC into standard USB connection. They're all USB 2.0, of course. They will work under one, as you probably well know. It just won't be nearly as fast a transfer. But this WS320 is a departure, because for the first time in an Olympus player, you can actually play MP3 files. Now, when you record, you're going to record in WMA, but the purpose of this discussion really is, you know, inexpensive, viable MP3 players. This is one of them. It just happens to also be good as a recording device. Excuse me. Hold on, little buddy. Don't get overly exuberant there. Now, apparently there's a switch that switches you between music and recording function on the WS320M, and there's also a 310 and a 300, and I believe the only differences are is that 310 is 512 megabytes, the 300 is 256. Of course, the 320 is 1 megabyte. Which begs the question, I wonder if the 320M is mono, because I know the S on the WS200S stands for stereo. So that's one I don't. That's one I don't know the answer to. Hey, one other one that someone asked on the list that was a really good question was, can you speed up the WS320? And you can speed up your recordings, as with all the WS series. If you just press the play key again, you can actually speed up to several degrees. Let me just show you here. I think I've still got this morning's podcast on this DS2 here.
Dogs and the time.
Let's see.
7130.
Let me get into it. What you can do though is hit the play key again, and then you can hit the right and left arrows, and it'll speed it up and slow it down to degrees. Okay, so if I hit the play, I'm going to speed it up a little more so we can get some context. Let's see, let me also get some volume here. So if I hit play, I can speed it up. You can't do that with the music on the WS3 series, though, turns out. Apparently when you hit the play again, according to Mary, and thank you for that information, Mary, the music pauses when you hit play again to resume it. Now, another good question would be if the index markers worked in MP3 files because I have a feeling that you're always going to start at the beginning. The same problem we were talking about this morning with the navigation. There are some players, I believe, in fact, the Eye River has a resume setting. I need to double check that so that, you know, if you quit in the middle of a song, it actually will resume there. And in this case, song, I mean, podcast, or what have you. Now, I also don't know on the Olympus 3 series, WS 300, 10 and 20, whether or not you can delete an MP3 file just like you do with your notes on the, when you record a note. All the Olympus recorders give you a very convenient way to delete files. And I've got to say that all the Olympus players or recorders are among the most accessible devices out there in terms of digital audio playback. Now, they're not designed, at least that I know of, with accessibility in mind, but their firmware is so cleverly engineered. And I could be totally wrong about this. Maybe they're totally aware of the accessibility. But as I've said many times before, the ease of use of these, especially for recording, is unparalleled. And playback is pretty much the same way. One thing that helps is that the Olympus players are the only ones with a built-in speaker. Now, you're not going to want to listen to high-fidelity music or even high-fidelity podcasts on that little built-in speaker, but it's very useful to just to navigate, quickly pull it out of your pocket, see where you are, you know. So this resume feature I was telling you about on the iRivers, I don't believe is a setting in any of the WS series, but I think you can put, well, I know you can put bookmarks in your memos that you record, and the question remains, can you do that with the MP3 files you play? You can also, by the way, play WMA music files on the Olympus, which you cannot do on the iRiver. You can do that on the ILO. And if you're not familiar with what I'm talking about with the ILO, check back at this morning's podcast, November 30th, 2005. For more details on that. Basically, it's one I found at Walmart for $100 with a gigabyte of RAM in it. One of the interesting things, too, on the ILO, I don't remember if I mentioned this morning or if I talked about it on the one I did but didn't take on a Tuesday morning, but one of the interesting things about this is it's actually made by Rave, R-A-V-E, for Walmart, and I found a guy that actually wrote some software for an earlier version of this that allows you to control many of the parameters, and one of them being the recording quality. Unfortunately, again, that unit only supports the internal mic. No microphone jack. While we're talking about that, we must mention that well, I already talked this morning about the iRiver having that unique input jack for line in or a microphone, but all the Olympus products have microphone jacks. And if you're into recording, the Olympus products also all have automatic gain control and level settings. So you don't set the level, you just record, and it takes care of the rest of it for you. The iRiver has a automatic gain control on the built-in mic, but not when going through external microphones. You actually have to set the level, which can be good. Uh-oh, barking dog, oh buddy. One of the interesting things too about the ILO is the CD that came with it had basically a folder with the documentation in it in Word format of all things. Actually fairly well done. And then another folder that's got some Windows ME drivers or 98 drivers, so that you know, for USB support. Thought I heard something. Hold on just a second. So, yeah, the manual on that was fairly nicely written. It's got a couple of problems, but I might show you a little picture of what to hit. But for the main part, you can understand that. I also didn't finish with the controls on the ILO this morning. In addition to the round, what I call jog wheel, five position switch on the face of the unit on the left side, there's a volume toggle. Well, start at the bottom, there's a menu key. You press that and then you use your control that's on the face, your five-way control, to arrow through and select menu options. And then above the menu key is a volume button with a press the top of it to go up and the bottom to go down. And then above that is the on-off switch. Just press it to turn it on, press and hold down to shut it off. And below all that on the left side, even below the menu key, is your hold slide switch. So if you slide that, oh my goodness, I can't remember the position now. It'd be nice if all these were the same. I've come to think of the norm being when the slide position is down, it's unlocked. So I try to think of it as a hold slide. And when it's up, hold is on. And that's the way the Olympus works. See, I believe the iRiver is exactly opposite. Yeah, when it's up, it's locked. That slide switch is pretty common on these players, and it really pretty much is a necessity too. Especially if you're recording something, it's very frustrating to think you're recording and then you accidentally pressed a little key that took you out somewhere and you don't actually know where you are. So the Rave, fairly easy to use. Turn it on, you hit play, the top of the round button, and up comes a little menu And for the most part, you can just hit play again to start it. I think the first thing in the menu is songs, and it just presents them to you in alphabetical order. Next menu item down is albums. And these actually work by reading the MP3 ID3 tags. The ID3 tags are a way to embed information into an MP3, good boy, into an MP3 file about the artist, the album, the genre. And in fact, those are some of the other fields in this menu that you go to when you hit play. So if you just want to do whatever you did last time, you just hit play twice and your music should start playing. If you go to the genre item, you'll get another menu of the different genres that MP3 player found on your machine. So this really is not going to be too usable by a blind person, because the genres that show up on that menu are going to really depend on what you have on the machine itself. So if you were looking for podcasts, actually, you know, I don't know this, but it may remember what genre you had picked. I will check that out and report back on that. So basically, by default, it starts out with songs in alphabetical order. No way to change the order. So to start the thing, you would hit your on switch and then play, and then the menu would come up, songs, say it's on, hit play again, and then music starts playing from the first song alphabetically. There are also some shuffle modes so that you would get your music randomly. Now, one technique I have found to help manage, you know, how much material's on there that you want to get through, and I've mentioned this before, is to actually use a program called Album Wrap to join all the MP3s, all the songs, in a folder into one giant MP3 file that contains the entire CD. Disadvantage, of course, is you don't get to skip from song to song. It's like listening to a large podcast. You just have to hold down the right arrow key to skip through that album. No going track by track. One of the things, too, that we really need to do, and I have mentioned this as well, is to come up with some ways that MP3 players can navigate through different parts of a large file like that. And I do know that the iPod supports that with its native files. I believe they're called AAC, maybe, or ACC. So with the iPod, you can actually move from file to file, or marker to marker. Good boy. Okay, we're gonna pull in here to the Jaime Brothers coffee shop and pick up a bag of coffee beans. I had to only make half a pot this morning. Had some really interesting... Excuse me. Right. There you go, little buddy. Well, this isn't it. What is this? Good, how are you? I'm in the wrong place, though. Excuse me. Smells great in here, though. That's the Fat Jimmy's pizza. Right. There you go, little buddy. This is the right spot. Oh, it smells good in here, too. Hey, want to get a bag of Colombian roast peas?
About 3/4 of a pound.
Do you have the whole pound?
Yeah. Oh, we only sell it as 3/4.
Oh, well, that's what I want then.
All right, just one bag?
Yeah. Sit down.
Let me check.
Good boy.
So what kind was that again?
What'd you say?
What kind of coffee did you want?
Colombian.
Colombian. Yeah.
That is going to do it.
All right, would you like it ground?
No, thanks.
All right, it's $9.88. Have a try. $10.12 change. Would you like a bag?
No, thanks. Thank you all.
Thank you very much.
You all too. I thought I was a coffee, not fanatic, but definitely an appreciator. But some of you guys on the Blind Cool Tech list are setting me straight. I mean, I do put my coffee beans in the freezer when I find out, oh, that's a no-no. But you know, one of the things that I've found to be an advantage of putting them in the freezer is that it's...
How you doing?
All right, how are you? Hadn't seen you in a while. Is that it actually makes it less oily in the grinder so that you don't have to dig it out of there as much. Whoops, dropped my coffee. My goodness, we don't want to do that. Let's get the air out of this bag, little buddy. So I think that scared Jake a little bit. Maybe this will fit. Ooh, that smells good. Let's see where we put that in this pocket over here, maybe, Jakey. Yeah. Okay, little buddy. So, I also understand that I'm probably not using the proper grinder to get the best flavor, but I must say, the flavor I'm obtaining is very adequate. Some of the best coffee I've had, and I've ordered from some of the specialty houses, and this place right here, this Jaime Brothers, is definitely some good coffee. It's a little pricey, as you can tell. $10 for 3/4 of a pound. Then you can usually get 3 pounds. So I can't remember, was it $13 or so? From Sam's, Kroger, I think, too. It's true, this is probably fresher. believe I'll make a pot when I get home, in fact. And sorry about this little coffee diversion. I really only have a couple more things to say on the MP3 player situation, but I did want to, before I leave the coffee topic, wanted to say that there's some of you that are brewing yours cup by cup, and I can certainly appreciate the desirability of that. I guess I must fall one notch short of being that kind of a coffee appreciator, because I never really liked, you know, leaving it on the burner. That quickly produces some stale tasting coffee. So about a year ago, I guess I purchased one of these coffee pots that, you know, it just brews it and dumps it into kind of a thermal pot, and you actually have to unscrew the lid a little bit to pour it. Well, I find that I really like that, because you know, it keeps the coffee at a temperature that's decent for hours. And I kind of like to sip on it all morning and afternoon, for that matter. In many cases, I do believe I'm going to brew up a pot of this, like I say, when I get home. So I'd like to, I guess I could try the individual cup brewing method one of these days, but I'm pretty happy with this. In fact, when I travel, I'll often get a bag like this from Jaime Brothers and let them go ahead and grind it, and then just take it with me and use it instead of the, take some filters with me too, of course, and use it instead of the coffee that they provide in the hotel room, because that really, you know, I never know whether I'm getting the decaf or the real stuff there. And I like the caffeine in the coffee. That's part of the reason I drink it. I also, of course, you have to take some filters with you when you do that. But that's one thing I don't use in my pot at home. I use I guess it's the gold filter that you just wash it. And theoretically, you don't get any paper taste. I don't really know that I'm that attuned that I could tell you whether or not something had been brewed through paper or not, but I do like the convenience. And, you know, the less waste, even though, of course, that paper's biodegradable. I like to just take the reusable filter, though, and tap it out into the little scraps jug I keep on the counter for kitchen food scraps, and wash it out real good and ready to go. Run it through the dishwasher once in a while to get the oils out of it and so forth. So I don't mind the thermal pots at all. Back to MP3 players, though. As far as I know, the players that support just copying files over without their special transfer software are ones that do not use playlists. I've got a player right now at home, the Napster player. It's actually made by Samsung. can't remember the model number. It's the one you buy it from Dell, I believe. Anyway, it uses...
Sometimes you just gotta, you know, love your brothers.
It uses playlists instead of just the files on the disk. This is one of those 20 gigabyte players. And do you know, I left this thing, I didn't use it for a couple of months, and my daughter wanted to borrow it. She cited, we cannot figure out how to use it. I mean, we could copy files to it, but they don't show up. And there are some playlists there, and they're not the extension of the playlist that I thought they would be. And I mean, I spent about a half hour with them. Wow, this is ridiculous. I mean, how's Shelly or somebody just supposed to hook this thing up and go with it, you know? So, especially for a blind person, you know. I know when I did have that Napster player going, it was tricky picking your playlists. And it's just another layer of complication that wouldn't be so bad if it was accessible, but it's not at all desirable when you're shooting at these menus in the dark, so to speak. So that's another feature to kind of watch out for. I'll lose my beans again. You gonna let this guy go? Yeah, go ahead. Okay. Good boy. Good dog. There you go. That's my buddy. So in short, trying to get a player, shows up as a drive, so that you can just use Windows Explorer to copy files to it. Trying to get one that you can delete the files from it. You can do this on the iRiver, in fact, I just don't remember how. I do believe it's usable by a blind person now to delete the current file. Not true on the ILO. Good boy. That's my buddy. Try to remember also to, if you can possibly find one that gives you some options for navigation, you know, Resume is a nice one. None of them are really going to be as good at navigation through large audio files as the Bookport is, but the Bookport costs $400. I certainly don't want to discourage anyone from buying the Bookport either. It's absolutely the best MP3 player that you can get, mainly, well, for several reasons. One, that you can tell what files you're playing. It's easy to delete them from there, and the navigation is unsurpassed. So in a, you know, you can navigate by 2 seconds, 10 seconds, 30 seconds, 60 seconds, or you can go halfway through the file from wherever you are toward the other end, or call that the binary quick move. So I want to encourage more of you to purchase some of these cheap players and give us some reviews on them. Thanks for listening. You're a good dog, you little buddy. Hey, Fredsters. Nobody home, huh? Shelly was off today. She's probably out and about. code up here. So yeah, please. You know, you got an extra 200 to throw around, pick up one of those Philips 6GB players or the Creative Labs Zen. Even I think I know a few of you have the iPod Shuffles. Let's get some. Those actually are some pretty good deals. I was reading an article, in fact, that the Nano gives you more for your money in terms of storage than what you can just buy a plain flash card for. So that's nice. So if you all have some of those, please share your experiences with them. And if you'd like to leave a comment on our comment line, please do call that at 206-984-9203. Y'all have a great one. We'll see you next time.